This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance.
I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros. Welcome to the Conscious Resistance Network. Today I have an important interview for you with a returning guest, a friend of mine, Johan Tengra, who we've brought on the show several times over the last few years. Wherever you're watching or listening from, look at the description and the video or the audio you're listening to, and you can see a link to all the previous interviews I've done with Johan because he's just been doing some amazing work. And today's topic is another notch in his belt. So welcome to the show, Johan. How are you doing today?
Hey, Derek. Good to be on after so long, man. Pleasure to speak to you. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. And so the last time we spoke, for those who might have missed it, we talked about the lawsuits that you were involved in that effectively put an end to some of the mask and vaccine mandates in India. And I'm going to have that interview pulled up in just a moment. But I think that for one, again, congratulations on being able to do that, because the reason I wanted to highlight that, and I'm going to pull it up on the screen, is because there's so many people out there who have been concerned and upset about COVID measures the last couple of years and have felt powerless. You know, people marching in the streets, people being locked in their homes. And, you know, what you and the Awaken India movement, and I know there's many other people, lawyers and partners that you've worked with, have really been effective in organizing. And not only just organizing and having your voices heard, but actually pushing back and having some luck. So again, congratulations on that. But today we're going to talk about another development, which I know was covered in some of the media. We got this one from the Hindustan Times, and then we've got the Children's Health Defense reporting on this. It's called Court Orders Bill Gates, Indian Government to Respond to Lawsuit Filed by Family of Woman Who Died After AstraZeneca Vaccine. So why don't you go ahead and just tell us what this is all about and what your involvement in this is.
All right. So firstly, my involvement in all the cases is that I'm involved in the research. So whatever we put in our petitions, like whatever goes in there, I'm directly responsible for that. So I vet the scientific literature. I'm like typically researching nonstop for the petitions. So all the material that's there is mainly mine. And as far as this case goes, we were in touch with the family of this victim who died, I think, 2 to 3 weeks after taking the AstraZeneca shot, which is, in India, it's known as Covishield. So we helped them to file a case at the Supreme Court of India. That was sometime last year in 2021 May. And that case is just coming up for hearing on the 28th. So in that case itself, we had attached all these victims, who have suffered from the vaccine, and we'd basically spoken against the adverse event system in the country, how flawed it is, how the causality assessment guidelines are rigged so that it's very easy for the committee to actually dismiss deaths that are happening because of or after vaccination. They just say it's not related or it's coincidental. So we've challenged those causality assessment criteria and other, aspects of this entire vaccine issue in that petition, which is coming up for hearing sometime soon. This one, actually, after filing that case in 2021, we came back to Mumbai, and that's where we allied with the lawyers who are helping us in a big way against all these mandates. That's Advocate Nilesh Oja, his wife, Advocate Dipali Oja, and the Indian Bar Association. So we've worked very closely with them, my friend and I, and both of them, as in we've been doing a lot of work since the last year, just like, 3 to 4 of us in his office nonstop. And we filed a slurry of cases last year, one of which was this one. So there's a victim, as I said, we helped her in the Supreme Court as well. And then we come back and we filed a case on her behalf in the Bombay High Court, seeking compensation directly and criminal prosecution of Bill Gates, the CEO of Serum Institute, who's manufactured these vaccines, and various other players as well. So this case is not just targeting Bill Gates or the Serum Institute, but we're also targeting social media companies for having suppressed the narrative. So we've made a party, Google, YouTube, Facebook, and all these big tech giants who've been constantly suppressing and pushing one-sided narratives regarding the vaccine. We've also included various sitting government bureaucrats who are still sitting in office because they misled the public by telling them that the vaccine is 110% safe and all this nonsense. So that's basically the case. It's the death of a medical doctor in a part of Maharashtra, my state, called Aurangabad. She took the vaccine because she is a frontline worker. So for them, the rollout started initially. They were some of the first people to get the vaccine. And she was told that it's safe and effective. So because of that misinformation and because of the pressure, she took the vaccine. And then she started getting complications. So when she did develop the complications, her family actually emailed the company Serum Institute, and they were asking her, did this ever come up in the trials? Do you guys have any cure for this? And their response was that, this vaccine is not linked to this at all, which we now know is false because there's many scientific studies and, various research papers that actually link clotting, thrombosis, thrombocytopenia to the Covishield vaccine, to the AstraZeneca shot. It's known as the clot shot now for obvious reasons. So they were obviously lying about that. They must have known, because they literally manufactured the vaccine and, did the trials in a very fraudulent way as well. They did not use placebos and various other things. So that's what happened at that time. And then the doctor landed up passing away. Then we have an AEFI committee in India, which is known as the Adverse Event Following Immunization Committee. So it's their job in India on a legal and governmental level to actually attribute a death to a vaccination. So typically, because of how the causality assessment criteria is rigged and flawed by the pharma industry and the vaccine manufacturers itself, they're able to dismiss most deaths as coincidental because their criteria itself is messed up. But in this case, because the scientific literature is so clear that clotting is a direct result of Covishield and AstraZeneca, they actually attributed the death to a vaccine, which is kind of works in our favor in a big way because it's a very open and shut case now. Even the government committee has ruled that this death is directly causally linked to the vaccination. It's not just a temporal association or something, but it's directly happened because of the vaccination. And that committee, funnily enough, was actually set up by Bill Gates in 2012. He gave a $2 million grant to set up the Immunization Technical Support Unit and the AEFI committee. So it's coming. So it's his literally something he's financed is saying that the vaccines caused the issue. So that way, it's a very open and shut case. As of now, it's just that a notice has been sent to Gates. Gates' lawyer was there in the court. She received the notice on his behalf. And a couple of us, like our team, is going to be delivering the notices directly to certain government bureaucrats and to Adar Poonawalla, who's the CEO of Serum Institute, the company that's made the vaccine. So Bill Gates, actually, the reason he's involved in this case is that he's given huge funding to the Serum Institute because of which they were able to make the vaccines and manufacture many doses beforehand, before, the pandemic even settled down or came to a halt or something. I mean, like right in the early days, like when this first wave was raging, they had a lot of doses ready for that. So that was only possible because Gates Foundation put so much funding into that.
Well, let me pause you here, Johan. For one, that's amazing work that you guys are doing again. And so I want to, for those who might be listening from the United States or North America, just to kind of compare what you're discussing it to what happens in the U.S. India has, as you said, the Adverse Event Following Immunization Database, which might be something similar to like the U.S. VAERS database. Yes. Yeah, okay. So just wanted to make that clear. So what we're discussing is this adverse event following immunization did show an adverse event following this doctor's death. And like you were saying, now it's conclusive that the vaccine, the AstraZeneca shot, also known as Covishield, was responsible for the death of this doctor. And that, I mean, that alone, like you said, just having them admit that is a pretty big step. And then the Serum Institute, which is also the, what's the full title? The Serum Institute
of India.
Of India. So is that, could you tell us like what role does that play like in relate, you know, I know you said it's partially funded or what received some funding from Bill Gates, but what's the, what role does that the Serum Institute of India typically play in India as far as health is concerned? What's their whole role in this overall?
Serum Institute is actually the biggest vaccine, one of the biggest vaccine manufacturers in the world, not just India. So every single vaccine that's manufactured globally, in terms of volume, they are the biggest. One in two vaccines that go all over the world, everything from the pentavalent shot to measles to MMR, everything. One in two vaccines around the world are made by them. So in terms of the scale at which they are manufacturing vaccines all over the world, they're the biggest. And as far as their role in Indian health is concerned, they are solely focused on vaccines. So their company is just manufacturing vaccines. And they've entered into various partnerships with the Gates Foundation. Like the Gates Foundation, this is not the only time that the Gates Foundation is funding Serum Institute, but they funded Serum Institute before also for various projects. In fact, there's this case of Africa where the HPV vaccine was given and it was laced with that HCG hormone. So even that entire controversy was linked to, you know, Gates trying to secretly, you know, cull women's fertility in Africa and stuff. So if people look deeper into that, that vaccine was also manufactured at the Serum Institute. So they hold a lot of influence globally. The Poonawalla family, that's the Serum Institute's owners, they're very close to Bill Gates. Bill Gates, you know, whenever he comes down, he always visits over there and he typically parties with them. They've also hosted parties and events for the royal family. So the Poonawallas are very close to Prince Charles and the entire royal family as well. So they kind of, I think they're the gophers or the go-betweens, kind of, you know, playing out a lot of elite agendas, at least when it comes to the vaccine issue out here on the Indian people. That's by and large their role in this whole issue.
Yeah, and you know what I think is interesting, Johan, is so I live in Mexico, you're in India, and you just mentioned Africa, and all three of these nations, and in addition to just these parts of the world, let's say like Central, South America, parts of India and Southeast Asia, and you know, the global south is just what it's generally called, but these areas have definitely been targeted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, right? So you know, from the US, these are things that, and from North America, these are things that people read about often. You know, they read about children being injured from the polio shots from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And then again, we have people who are starting to raise awareness. Thankfully, there are more and more Africans waking up to these agendas and are not just kind of blindly taking it. But, you know, could you speak to your thoughts on just your feelings, your opinions on what it's like as a person, as an Indian living there in that area of the world, knowing that, like, there, for whatever reason, there does seem to be a major focus, like you were just mentioning, Gates goes there, he hangs out with the people, the owners of the Serum Institute, you know, he's rubbing elbows with all the powerful people there. I know you've covered that for years now, just how a lot of the Indian elite are just as tied to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and other globalist organizations as they are in the United States. But, you know, does that, like, knowing that your home country is sort of a target to these people, does that give you, you know, more motivation to continue to fight? Or, you know, how does that affect you, if it does affect you in any way?
Definitely it does. I'll tell you what affected me quite a bit is actually reading about Henry Kissinger's document, NSS 2000. So that was written in the 70s. And actually, if you read that, he's writing in that the third world needs to be targeted, as an overpopulation in the third world is a security issue for the US or something. So over there, he came up and he listed various ways in which the third world could be targeted with respect to food, as in, like, you know, using food as some kind of blackmail to reduce the population and influencing the education system and all of that. So studying the eugenics agenda actually gave me a big insight into how these people actually think. And the third world has generally been a target of theirs. So, I mean, it definitely gives an added push or a motivation to fight back, knowing that we are more targeted than the West. But I mean, if you just see it objectively right now, the West is kind of a lot of under target as well. If you just see the entire cultural, you know, issue that's going on right now, the West is big time under target because there's a big influence of liberty and freedom in these societies, especially in European culture and Western culture. So because of all the stuff that's going on right now with sanctions and the entire, you know, geopolitical situation, I feel like we are a little bit better off out here because India is still continuing to import oil from, you know, Russia, and we don't have sanctions or anything like that on Russia. So there are, I mean, this is why it kind of helps to show that this is a largely global issue, because I can point to examples and show you that there are certain areas where the West is more targeted and then there are certain areas where we are more targeted. As in, even if you see the entire export of jobs from America to the third world, that's something that's been happening over a very long time. The industrial base has been moved out of America into India in the IT sector and into China as far as manufacturing is concerned. So there's been a kind of controlled collapse of Western society also that these elite have been engineering. And I feel like after they're done targeting the whites and the white supremacy nonsense and all of that, they'll start targeting these cultures more. But at least as far as the health discussion and the vaccine discussion goes, Yeah, I mean, we've been at the receiving end of that. For example, if you see the polio vaccine, you know, we are still using the oral polio vaccine right up till a couple of years back. In fact, it's still available out here in India. It's not banned. Whereas if you look at America, you know, they replaced the oral polio vaccine with the injectable one in 2000, right? So that way, in terms of improving vaccines, also in terms of making it less lethal, like, of course, vaccines in general do cause damage, I believe, but then some are better than others. So I think that in the West, at least wherever they've had the safe phase, they've at least on paper improved the vaccines a little bit. But out here, we've had the worst. Like the oral polio vaccine, you know, causes much more damage than the injectable one, I believe. So yeah, I mean, that's my assessment of the overall situation.
Yeah, and I think you're right that it, for one, it, I think hopefully more and more people have recognized over these last couple of years that this is a worldwide problem. It's not just affecting the United States, it's not just affecting India, you know, Australia, Italy, America, Mexico, et cetera. I mean, this is affecting people, and it doesn't look the same everywhere, like you were saying too. Sometimes maybe the attacks come on the health front. Sometimes, as you were saying, with the United States and Western nations, it's the exporting of jobs and sort of trying to destroy culture within. So I do think it's important. Now, back to this lawsuit. What's next? You said that there's a hearing coming up later this month.
So yeah, I mean, from what I spoke to the lawyer, funnily enough, the judge didn't have a full appreciation of who Bill Gates was. So he was giving us a kind of inside scoop that he did, you know, pass the order and he issued a notice. And then the judge kind of, you know, got a backlash from inside their community and in more upper echelons, elite circles, that, you know, how could you do this types? And do you even know who Bill Gates is? And funnily enough, at least from what our lawyer told us, from, you know, the inside scoop that he has, he's like, the judge didn't actually fully understand who Bill Gates was. So that kind of worked in our favor because the notice is issued now. So they will have, he and like all the parties will have to respond on each point, whatever we've raised. We're also filing an additional affidavit where we'll, I mean, I'll be compiling all the past history of the Gates Foundation. So all the scandals they've been involved with, like the most incriminating evidence on Gates, which I referenced in an article that I wrote as well last year. It was a very in-depth piece where I went deeply into how the Gates Foundation and Rockefeller Foundation are controlling India's health system. So the best, you know, evidence that I've collected against Gates, we'll be filing an additional affidavit on that. And then the next hearing is on 17th November, I think. So that's when we'll have a proper hearing. As of now, they've not been convicted or anything like that. They've just been asked to respond in court. So, you know, we can only see what happens on the 17th and the dates following that. But as I said, it's a very open and shut case. Even the government committee has ruled that death has happened because of vaccination. So we've asked for compensation and, you know, for certain people to be arrested, including Gates, for all their activities. So that's what we'll be pressing for. You know, if someone wants the petition, they can go to the Indian Bar Association website. Maybe I'll send you the link. So they can go and take a look at the petition and maybe have a look at the prayers so that, you know, people can see what exactly we're demanding for on that petition.
Yeah, and I think it's great you mentioned this. I think we should really make sure this is clear because obviously Bill Gates is a name that most people recognize. A lot of people don't like him and are really concerned and obviously see the eugenics agenda side of things. But you did also mention that you know, you've named several politicians who played an active role. And I think that's important too, because, you know, whether you're listening from India, you're listening from the West, or wherever you're listening from, politicians helped make this happen. Politicians helped make these decisions, and so they should be held accountable. And you also named the social media companies. I think that's great, right? Because they did play a role in suppressing information. So
So much so
it's
that I just like to add, I was actually recently just doing a live stream last week with an advocate, and it blew up. Like it was almost at 6,000-7,000 views just in a like 4 5 hours or something, and YouTube immediately took that thing down. Like even before I woke up the next morning, it was off, right? So even the reporting of the case, like me just getting my lawyer on and discussing what's happening with the case, they took that stream down as well. Our lawyer went on another platform where he did the same thing. They took that down as well. So even they're trying to suppress what's going on in court, literally in the development of this case.
Absolutely, as we would expect them to do. Guys, you've been listening to an interview with Johan Tengra of the Awaken India movement, also Anarchy for Freedom in India. I'll put all those links below. This is the article we are covering on the Children's Health Defense. Also, if you go to theconsciousresistance.com and just search Johan, you'll find every interview we've done, starting back in 2020 to the most recent one, him discussing their previous victory, defeating the mask and vax mandates. I encourage you to go check all those out because Johan is doing some of the best work out there, I think, real hard-hitting activism. and fighting for, you know, the people of your nation, man. So I really appreciate it. And honestly, you're fighting for the people around the world, because whether you live in India and you are going to benefit from this decision, hopefully you're taking some inspiration from this and seeing that you do have power. We do have the ability to change the world around us, even when it comes to people who seem as far away from us possible and so big and overwhelming as Bill Gates. Anything you want to leave us with, brother?
No, man, I just like people to take action and stop waiting for some savior to come, because had I thought like that, we would not be able to do everything we're doing today. So just realize that the responsibility lies on you, whoever you are that's watching, and do your bit. I think if we all just do our bit like this and keep pushing, you know, we'll make drastic changes in the world that will be good for all of us in the end.
Absolutely. All right, everyone, you heard it here first. Until next time, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Peace. Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.